And you are listening to Jordan Came, the Christ our Lord. And yes, my voice is getting a little better. Today is Tuesday, January the 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. And with us is our good friend.
Yeah, this is Pastor Mark Smith. Tom, you sound terrible. What did you do to yourself over the holidays? You got to take care of yourself, your voice.
What's wrong with my voice? You don't like my voice?
No, it sounds like you've got a bad cold this morning.
Last Thursday, I couldn't even speak.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually 10 times better. So, yeah, it's working out pretty good. That's why you're going to read all the verses today.
I'll gladly do that.
All righty. Go ahead with stanza one.
Okay. And this is 406. To Jordan came the Christ our Lord to do his Father's pleasure. Baptized by John, the Father's word was given us to treasure. This heavenly washing now shall be a cleansing from transgression, and by his blood and agony, release from death's oppression. A new life now awaits us.
Now, this coming Sunday, it's both the baptism of our Lord and Epiphany.
Yeah, the first Sunday in Epiphany.
Which right? One are you doing?
Probably the baptism of our Lord.
So that this hymn is one you might sing.
Yeah, I would think so, right.
It's written by someone you may not be aware of.
Martin Luther.
Yes. Ever hear of him?
Oh, yes. I wasn't aware that he wrote this hymn, though.
Yes. Seven stanzas. And
that's a pretty good clue right there that
yes.
He wrote.
At least it's a Reformation hymn.
It's pretty verbose. Yes.
Because Reformation hymns are mini sermons.
Yes, they are.
Yes. So, obviously, the historic part here, that he's baptized by John. And it's given us to treasure. What does that mean?
The Father's word. Baptized by John, the Father's word was... It's talking about the word made flesh.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
How long does it take Luther to get to the cross?
Well, let's see. I'm looking here. Well, I mean, he sure implies it pretty quickly there. Released from death's oppression, a new life now awaits us. That's, of course, through the cross.
Yes. And the line before that, and by his blood and agony.
Right. Yes. And by his blood and agony, released from death's oppression, a new life now awaits us. That's right.
So
he's talking about the cross already in the very first stanza.
Exactly. Because the whole Bible is all about Jesus.
It's all about Christ, isn't it?
Although, I'm changing that.
Oh, okay. Oh.
What do we always say at Christmas? Who is the reason for the season?
Jesus is the reason for the season.
I used to put that down, too. But I did the Sunday school lesson yesterday, and you can hear my explanation there. And in reading the teacher's guide, they indicated that the reason for the season was really all of that was for us.
All of it was for us. Well, of course.
Yes, so that we're really also the reason for the season.
In Christ.
And what's the, how does the third line begin here with Luther?
Let's see, what the third stanza?
Was given...
Let's see, third stanza.
No. In the first stanza.
In the first stanza, third line, was given us to treasure.
Isn't that interesting? Right away, he brings us in.
Yeah.
See, this is the difference between historic faith and saving faith. Historic faith would just recount what happened. Jesus was baptized. But it becomes the gospel and saving faith when it was given to us.
For us, right.
Yeah, the for us.
That's right.
So he's got everything in this first stanza. We got six more to go.
Boy.
What's two?
Oh, hear and mark the message well, for God himself has spoken. Let faith not doubt among us dwell, and so receive this token. Our Lord here with his word endows pure water freely flowing. God's Holy Spirit here avows our kinship while bestowing the baptism of his blessing.
So what does Luther do? He moves from the baptism of Jesus to
our own baptism.
Yes. And let faith not doubt among us dwell. Zechariah doubted, Mary didn't, and Simeon didn't.
That's right.
And Anna didn't.
Anna did not either.
Right.
But poor Zechariah.
Oh, boy.
And he was a preacher. A priest.
A priest. Yes. I don't know if they did sermons, but...
Well, he was a member of the clergy. And
yes.
And here he doubts.
And his wife gets a great gift.
Yes, well, of course, she would bear the infant John the Baptist.
No. I'm talking about her husband can't talk.
Oh. I don't know if that's...
Well, it's kind of interesting.
As long as he can listen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Listening is the most important thing.
We went to Ohio to see the Ohio State game.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Louise's sister just loves it. They were real Ohio State. They live in Columbus. And it's interesting. Louise is going to be with me in the car, and that's when I started to lose my voice. So I looked at her and said, stop praying.
What? You said what?
Stop praying.
Oh, stop praying. I see. You lost your voice on the way to the game?
Pretty well, yeah.
Oh, man. I bet being out there in the cold air wasn't helpful.
Well,
either.
We weren't at the game.
Oh, I see. You just went up to view it on TV.
Yes, in her sister's house, because she always has good meals, and it was kind of interesting.
You went for the food, right?
Yeah, but I spent most of the time resting in the bed.
I'll bet so.
It was perfect timing. If you're going to have a sore throat, have it begin right after KFUO is off the air for my program.
Yes, right. Yeah, they had 2 weeks to rest.
Yes. Okay, stanza three.
These truths on Jordan's banks were shown by mighty word and wonder. The Father's voice from heaven came down, which we do well to ponder. This man is my beloved Son, in whom my heart has pleasure. Him you must hear, and him alone, and trust in fullest measure the word that he has spoken.
Once more, the most important word to make the gospel different from the law is the word promise. And that here is found. We're going to take a look at it in more depth in the next stanza. But the reason we have faith is not to believe that these things happen, but believe the promises.
Ah, the promises, yes.
Connected to those things.
That's right.
And there's also something interesting here with the baptism of Jesus. The entire Trinity showed up.
Yes.
How so?
Well, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And, of course, you heard the Father's voice
yes.
out of the heavens. And, of course, there was the Son, God the Son, Jesus.
Now, Dr. James Veltz has a kind of interesting point he makes. The original Greek says that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. It doesn't say, according to Jim Veltz, that he descended in the form of a dove.
That's right. I always make that distinction, too.
Yeah. Now, it's quite possible he did.
Mm-hmm.
But a dove comes down differently than does an eagle.
Yes, of course.
Yes. And so what's interesting in the Bible, the dove alights upon Jesus and enters him. And that's why we consider this to be the ordination or the installation of Jesus for his ministry.
Earthly ministry, right?
Right. So let's get to the word promise, stanza four.
There stood the Son of God in love, his grace to us extending, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, upon the scene descending. The triune God assuring us with promises compelling that in our baptism he will thus among us find a dwelling to comfort and sustain us. Well, that's a great verse, isn't it?
Yes.
It just is the dove, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended upon Jesus. So in our baptism, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us as his temple.
I've often said that the ceiling above the baptismal font should be clouds with a dove descending.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what happens even when we baptize an infant.
That's right.
In fact, the sermon I did on Sunday, which I did do with a very good mic.
Wow.
I only had to whisper into it, and it was really loud. It was great. The point I made was that baptism, even of an infant, gives the child the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's why that child has faith.
That's right.
And that faith is best seen in John the Baptizer. It's not so much knowledge as it is trust.
That's right. His understanding, of course, led him to think, well, I should be baptized by you, but you come to me. And Jesus says, no, permit it to be so now in order to fulfill all righteousness. And what could John say? He was subject to his
I'm speaking also of the faith John the Baptizer had in the womb.
Right. That's an excellent point also.
Yeah.
He leaped for joy.
A lot of women will say, you know, babies, they don't have faith. You can't have a baby have faith. And then I will ask them, how long did it take after your baby was born to cling to you?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
That's what we call trust.
That's right. Faith. They trust and they feel safe and secure in their mother's arms.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what faith is, safe and secure in our Father's arms.
In fact, that's to comfort and sustain us.
Right.
Notice how Luther comes back again and again to the gospel promises and what they do for us. In fact, that's really important about witnessing. Witnessing is not telling somebody your testimony. Look what happened to me when I believed. That's not witnessing. Witnessing is talking to the people and showing what benefits they have.
That's right.
Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Right. That's the gospel. That is the gospel.
That's
what creates faith.
And apart from the gospel, there is no faith.
That's right.
That's why so many sermons you hear, particularly on evangelical radio, it's not gospel there at all, hardly. As I said, one pastor was going to do a number of weeks on just the disciples. And all he was talking about was what they did and who they were and this sort of thing. And there was hardly anything in there about Jesus. And he called that a sermon. That's a Bible study. So, Stanza 5.
To his disciples spoke the Lord, go out to every nation and bring to them the living word, and this my invitation. Let everyone abandon sin and come in true contrition to be baptized and thereby win full pardon and remission and heavenly bliss inherit.
Now, tomorrow I'm going to be talking about Homicide Hunter. Have you seen that television program?
Homicide Hunter, oh, Tom.
Yes.
Was that one of those Law and Order type shows?
Yep. It's a guy
How can you watch that stuff?
Oh, it is tremendous.
You got to get a lot of good illustrations out of
them. Well, more than that, it's about Joe Kane. It's true. He solved 487 murders when he was a detective. And the program goes through some of his situations. And as I'm looking at it, it's really good. He is live, but he's much older because he's retired. And then they have a young guy doing the acting for him. It's really well done.
Huh. And what's the name of the program again?
Homicide Hunter.
Okay.
It's already had 5 seasons.
Wow.
I didn't even know that. The reason I got interested about 2 Saturdays ago, on one station, they played a whole bunch of them. So I taped them all. And what I find is that, I'll say more about this tomorrow, but just to point out what I'm saying today, is the first suspect is never the murderer, even though it looks obviously he is. And he has to look beyond that. And then it's very interesting the way he hunts out who should be the proper suspect. And he always gets his man. And it hit me that that's what we as theologians do. We make the point that the text, when you first look at it, you almost always get it wrong. Like if you were to ask your people, what is so important about the baptism of Jesus? I think many of them would talk doctrinally about, well, this is where we see there's a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. And that seems to be the first suspect, but it really isn't. The baptism was for us. In fact, you mentioned it. Why does Jesus say he needs to be baptized by John? In order to
fulfill all righteousness.
Yes. What does that mean?
Well, he identifies with our sin. He takes our sin upon himself.
In fact, the Apostle Paul talks about he became sin for us.
Right.
That began at the baptism.
At the baptism. That's exactly right.
And what is so important about that is, yes, the Trinity is important, but it is Jesus who becomes sin for us.
Right.
He didn't need to be baptized because he really wasn't a sinner, but he was declared by God to be a sinner. And that's the same with us. We are sinners. We never really are righteous in our own works, but God declares us to be righteous because Jesus fulfilled all righteousness.
That's right. He took our sins upon himself.
So the point I'm making is, like a detective, a theologian gets behind the text as to why did God write that? And you figure that out with scripture, interpret scripture, law and gospel, and these kinds of things. But rarely is the first understanding of a text correct. I find that, especially among lay people, you know, because they're not trained in theology. That's why I'm figuring out why it's so easy for me to begin every sermon with a question that everybody gets wrong. Because they look at it not as a detective, but they just look at it superficially. So, the one I'm going to use tomorrow is Mark 10. How do I get to heaven? Well, you sell everything, give to the poor.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that could be easily misunderstood.
Well, absolutely. And so you have to be a detective theologically and see why is Jesus saying what he's saying. So in verse 5, we've got a problem. Let everyone abandon sin. Now, if you just look at it superficially, that means you don't do it anymore. How do we abandon sin? The verse tells us. In fact, the very next line.
Let everyone abandon sin and come in true contrition.
Yes, what's contrition?
That's being sincerely sorry for our sins, but also includes faith in Christ's forgiveness.
You see how that is a deeper level than the idea of abandoning sin, namely just stopping doing it.
Right.
See, you almost have to be a detective when you're looking at hymn verses. What is really meant here? And for Luther, to abandon sin, in fact, it's the first thesis in the 95. The life of a Christian is one of
repentance.
Very good. Yes, the whole life, which
That's right.
is another word for proper contrition.
Right.
So he's even got that in here. Stanza 6.
But woe to those who cast aside this grace so freely given. They shall in sin and shame abide, and to despair be driven. For born in sin, their works must fail. Their striving saves them never. Their pious acts do not avail, and they are lost forever. Eternal death, their portion. Boy, that's a law verse, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, Luther was somewhat into law and gospel.
Gospel, right. I'm sure he ends on a gospel note, though.
Well, of course, because he's Lutheran. Now, you got to remember that those who were saved are those who had faith. So how does Luther, in the first two lines, talk about what unbelief is?
Woe to those who cast aside this grace so freely given.
Yeah, they cast it aside.
Yeah.
Now, why would you cast aside, you know, eternal life and the forgiveness of sins?
Well, it's like Jesus says, don't throw your pearls before swine. You know, swine don't appreciate what pearls are. And
the reason they cast aside is because they don't think they're that bad a sinner.
Yeah.
I don't need that much grace.
I don't need this.
No.
I don't need your Bible. I don't need your Jesus.
But my neighbor and wife sure do. Yeah, that's how they think. And that's so sad to not realize that all their pious acts do not avail. Their striving saves them never. In fact, in Hebrews 10, the ceremonial laws are put in their proper place. Because the writer to the book of Hebrews says that never did the shedding of blood of animals ever give you the forgiveness of sins. Because you had to keep on doing it every time you sinned.
That's right.
Only one shedding of blood, and that was that of Jesus. All right, I think we're going to get through 7. Go ahead.
All that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it. Before the eye of faith unfolds the power of Jesus' merit. For here it sees the crimson flood to all our ills bring healing, the wonders of his precious blood, the love of God revealing, assuring his own pardon. Boy, that's a great verse, isn't it?
It is.
The world looks at it, oh, it's just simple water. It's just ordinary water. Big deal, you know. But we in faith see the crimson
blood. And what also do they see as simple in another sacrament?
Oh, ordinary water. Bread and wine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just bread and wine.
Just bread and wine.
And it's so sad that there are even Christian denominations that don't believe it's the body and blood of Christ.
That's right. They don't believe that it's really the body and blood of Christ.
Because it doesn't make any sense to them.
No.
Now, we're not going to say that such people are dead in their trespasses. In 1 Corinthians 11, those who did not believe that got sick and some fell asleep, which means they were Christians, because that's the word for a Christian dying.
Right.
But there are consequences to denying the word of God, even here on earth. And I like that line. All that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it. But how does Luther regard that water, according to this verse?
The power of Jesus' merit. He regards it as the blood of Jesus.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That when the water is poured over our heads in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's as though we're receiving the blood of Jesus from the cross. In fact, there's a famous picture.
Right. The cross.
Explain.
I know what you mean. Well, I don't remember everything about it. But I remember Luther is standing there beneath the cross. And who's the other person on the other side, you recall?
Well, the one I'm thinking of, he's in the pulpit. And
yes.
The cross is the blood going into the congregation.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And isn't it actually filling the chalice?
Could be,
I think.
Yeah. They had some great things. So 7 verses. We played the whole hymn yesterday because of my voice problems. We hope you enjoyed that. By the way, I'm going to be going to Emmanuel Olivet, and we are going to be doing the Bible study. And your address?
Oh, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, 8646 New Sappington. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. Or if you can't make Sunday, we'd love to have you Saturday evening at 5 p.m.
God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.